Again, just thank you all for having me. It's exciting for me to be here. I'm going to just kind of start with a quick 2-minute video about hope. If I can get it up here. To kind of just introduce it. This video was made by one of our teachers. So he, on the side, runs a videography and photography business and is kind enough to share his talents with the students and the staff at Hope Academy. So I'll show this video quickly. Is that? Can you all hear that?
Places where the light doesn't seem to radiate or shine. But it's in those places, the rough, that we find precious jewels, metals, and the brightest of minds.
All right. So that just gives you... That just gives you just kind of a quick picture. You know, I think part of the... what we really want people to understand about Hope and see about it are the students, right? Like, we exist for the students. And so Steve made some mention of part of our history. So about almost 20 years ago now, a guy named Marshall Benbow... he was a campus minister at UNCG then. He had a quiet time one day. He was reading through the book of John and came to the verse, you know, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he was reading it in the Message version, and it said, Jesus moved into the neighborhood. And he just felt like the Lord just opened up his eyes to what the Lord had for him, and that he was literally supposed to move into this neighborhood. This neighborhood... the Glenwood neighborhood, it's on the south side of Greensboro. It's a rough side of town, right? There's, but mainly what he also found there was failing schools, right? So when he moved into the neighborhood, he just started tutoring his neighbor's kids. Like, neighbors would just come by, he met their kids, he started tutoring them. And that turned into, I can only do one thing at once. That turned into a tutoring program, which they moved to Grace Community Church, like Steve mentioned. And so the tutoring program grew. It was like 80 to 100 students, K-12. They had 30, 40 volunteers. But what they weren't seeing was much academic change. Right? They weren't seeing anything really change about decisions students were making. Right? They were still seeing a number of students drop out of school, get pregnant, end up in jail, run away, end up who knows where. And so about 10 years ago, they had heard about some similar schools to Hope, specifically one in Birmingham, Alabama called Restoration Academy. And they made some connections there and went down and visited and came back with this vision for a school. Came back and knew that what these students needed in order to escape this cycle of poverty that continued to entrap them where they were was they needed an improved education, right? And they didn't only need an education, they also needed to be in a school where they were reminded of who they are in Jesus, right? That they would be taught the gospel, they would be told about the God who loved them, who'd created them, who'd redeemed them, and had a perfect plan for their lives, right? Things that they had not heard anywhere else. And so they came back and they started a school. It was very, like Steve mentioned, I was a teacher there from the beginning, so this is beginning my ninth year at Hope Academy. I taught fifth grade for 4.5 years and then took over as the head of school. So, and in that, when they started it, we started in right in the middle, in fifth through eighth grade, right? So most of us have been to middle school, and it's not necessarily the easiest, most amazing time of our lives, right? And so it's also not the most well-planned way to start a school, right? You wouldn't necessarily start in the middle. But they had relationships built with these students, and so that's where they started. And this, you know, and that's also the time period they were seeing students start to kind of fall off the radar. So, and the neighborhood middle school is hard. So that's what they did. They started middle school. And since the beginning, the vision has been to grow into a K-8 school. I'm excited to say that in a few weeks when we open, we're going to be adding third and fourth grade. So we have not been in a position to be able to add grades before. Which is extremely exciting for us because it's something we've always wanted to do. We've had 4 years with these students. Sorry. Should I unmute myself? Host?
When you do the next video.
Oh, gotcha. I forgot what I was saying. Anyway, so we've been excited to get these kids younger and younger, right? Because if you know anything about educating students, right, our brains are much more malleable and formative as younger people. And the older we get, particularly in middle school, the cement starts to set a bit. So we've been spending a lot of our time and a lot of our energy basically undoing things and rebuilding instead of laying a good foundation from the start and being able to build on that. So as we're able to build down and add younger students, then we're putting ourselves in a position to be able to make them more successful. So the mission of Hope Academy is that through the hope and power of Christ, we partner with families and the community to educate, encourage, and equip our students in order to transform their futures, right? Those things I was talking about seeing these kids, seeing these students that through no fault of their own have entered the world in this cycle of poverty, and seeing that education is able to give them a way out of that, right? And that through the hope and power of the Lord, right, as they grow in who they are and who the Lord has made them to be, they recognize what He has for them in life. They recognize who He is, who He's called them to be, the way He's outlined for us to live, and they live into that truth. So, really for us, we've really had two big goals for students, and that is by the time that they leave us in eighth grade, they are at or above grade level, right? Many of them come in multiple grade levels behind. And so our main goal is to get them up to where they need to be so that they can be successful going into high school. And then the second goal is really to get them into a positive high school situation. So Guilford County has a number of magnet and choice schools, and a lot of that looks like academies that exist within high schools or middle colleges that exist as high schools on college campuses. And both of those options offer much smaller classes, give kids, they keep a finger on kids and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So we feel like if we can get them into those situations, we've bridged this gap. We've gotten them to where they need to be successful. So three main pillars of our mission are to educate, encourage, and equip, right? So we are primarily a school. We do things a little bit differently, right? So if you saw in the video you should have seen, you saw a lot of exploratory learning. You saw kids with their hands busy, right? So we feel like the Lord has made kids to be pretty busy and to have a lot of energy. And one of the things we're trying to figure out is how to harness that energy into a positive direction, right? To keep their hands busy. So one of the big ways we do that is through the garden, right? So when I was a fifth grade teacher, I built one garden bed right outside my classroom. And so the Lord in His grace has multiplied that into 8, 9, 10 garden beds, right? We've seen that just literally grow over the time that we've been there. And it's really been a powerful experience for students, right? Just to understand how something grows, to understand soil and growth and decomposition and all of the rich imagery that, you know, if you've grown up in a situation where you kind of understand those things and you read the Bible, it's just riddled with agricultural metaphors, right? They're all in there. And so we're able to very much tie that to, oh, okay, now I understand the parable of the sower a little better because I have actually planted the seed and seen this thing grow or seen it fail to grow because of something that's gone wrong with it, right? And so all of that is just the ways that we teach them, engage them differently than just pressing their nose into a book, right? How do we give them experiences that help them to see who the Lord is and help them to understand who they are? Biblical worldview, right? So in a typical school day, the students would start, like the whole student body would start together. I would start with kind of a 15-minute walk through Scripture. So that students have, by the time they reach the end of their time with us, they've touched every part of Scripture, right? They've been through it all. And so, you know, it gives me a chance to just sit down with them, speak truth to them as they begin their day, and pray for them and move them into what we call their discipleship groups. So they go into smaller groups with teachers and in there just really start to dig into Scripture and understand, first of all, what does the Bible say and why does it matter, right? And as they go, as they get older, as they move into 7th and 8th grade, we start to talk about how do you apply the truths of Scripture to your life. And so those times are just really sweet times, right? They start the day in the Word. They start the day with an adult who cares about them and who is interested in their lives. And they start the day with the ability to come to the Lord with what their heart is burdened with, right, in prayer. And so, you know, that doesn't happen in general in most schools, particularly for these students. And for us to be able to start that way is crucial to set the tone for what's important. We do have small classes. We have roughly kind of a 9-to-1 student ratio. So keeping classes really small is important, right? Those kids are way behind. We're really trying to focus on getting them to where they need to be. And so that's really an important key component of what we're doing at Hope is we're able to do the things that we do because there's a lot of adult eyes on kids, a lot of adults speaking into these kids, lives. So, and especially now, this is going to, you know, this ratio is going to allow us to start school in a couple weeks when all the rest of their peers are looking at being at home for the next 9 weeks at least. So, encourage. So we interpret encourage as that spiritual aspect, which I've talked a good bit about. Those discipleship groups, adults in the building that get to know students, that get to know their families, that know the things that they're dealing with, that hear them and listen to them and pray for them and speak the truth of Scripture back to them as they struggle and to try to navigate their home lives, this culture that they're swimming in and anything else that is burdening them. And then partnering with parents in the community, which is another big part of our mission, is that we understand we have a pretty limited amount of time with these students, right? That We have some responsibility not only to educate the student, but also to involve the parents in their child's education. And I think in a lot of ways that probably sounds like a simple thing, but it can be very complex. And so spending the time to communicate well with families, with parents, with aunts, uncles, grandma, grandpa, whoever the primary caregiver is in that child's life, and getting them on board with where this child is headed, right? And because we know that we're going to hand them back to them when they're done with eighth grade, and you know, not many of us at 13 or 14 are just sort of set out into the world, so there's still a lot that needs to take place. And so bringing those parents along in helping to see themselves as a primary educator in that child's life as well. And developing community relationships. You know, I think one of the things we're proudest of is how much these students get to interact in very real situations with adults from all walks of life, right? Whether it's tutors or, like Steve mentioned, the group from C12, donors that come in and visit. These students learn how to look adults in the eye, shake their hand, introduce themselves, talk to them about what their goals are, talk to them about what their plan is to reach those goals. And that alone is one of the most impressive pieces for these students, because many of them arrive, and they'll arrive in a couple weeks, and they'll get there and they'll just put their heads down, right? They'll just sit down at a desk and they'll just put their heads down, because the weight of the world just feels crushing to them. But this transformation takes place as they're there. They understand that the burden's actually light, right? Because Jesus is helping them to carry it. That they're not in this alone. That they have been created with a purpose. And they can do the things that the Lord is calling them to do. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, right? Doesn't mean it's going to be safe. But the Lord is going to equip them as he has called them. And so we see that gradual lifting of the head, and they stop shifting their eyes and they look you in the eye. And they stop mumbling and they speak clearly. And they reach out and they shake your hand. And they don't say, "I don't care anymore." They articulate, you know, "I want to be a software engineer. I want to be a pediatrician. I want to go to Carolina. I want to go to Duke. I don't want to alienate any of the crowd here and there." So to see that happen, that's, you know, one of the reasons I said I wanted you to be able to see the students, and pray that someday you'll find your way to Hope Academy and shake their hands, because that there's something about that it says way more than I could ever say. Right? You see them grow up before your eyes. And it's remarkable what the Lord has done. Equipped, so, you know, we're also, because of, again, like going back to that kind of small class size, we're in a position to be able to not only deal with faith, not only present them with a biblical worldview, not only talk to them about academics, but put together all these other pieces that often are missing from education, that a lot of kids kind of get at home or get from working or get somewhere else. And so a lot of all these other facets, right? Physical education. So in most public schools, funding for physical education and the arts is like one of those first things that gets just cut away, right? And PE just becomes sort of oftentimes more of a recess and less of a, "Oh, I understand how my body works. I understand how to build strength. I understand how to become more flexible." And so we have certified CrossFit instructors that come on campus and work with students and do functional fitness with them. We have times for clubs to explore the arts, to explore technology, to explore robotics and a number of other things. We, a couple years ago, started an athletics team. Right, and so again, we're a very small school, and so many of the students who wouldn't participate on athletic teams otherwise have an opportunity to do so, right? And that confidence that they have in themselves, the way that they understand who they are, the pride that they take in their abilities just continues to grow and to grow. We institute something called a Hope Economy, which is a financial skills program, right? It's how we do classroom management, but it's done through students are given jobs around the school. They receive paychecks, not real money, just, you know, pretend money. They learn how to balance checkbooks. They learn how to save. They learn about interest, how to avoid credit cards, you know, all these things that now, last year, the state of North Carolina announced, did everybody know that? They announced that they're adding financial skills as a component of high school education. And we've been doing that for years, right? Because you can't start early enough with that kind of thing. If you're talking about how to help students out of poverty, you have to teach them how to be financially savvy, right? You just have to. Healthy eating. Many of them come in with just eating habits that are not excellent, right? We're gonna see them in a couple weeks, and they've been home since the middle of March, and no doubt that we're gonna be reteaching so many things. And eating is one of them, right? And so they, again, going back to the garden, once they see where food comes from and understand how it gets to them, they have a much different appreciation for what they're putting in their bodies. And then career opportunities. You know, a couple weeks ago, I had a chance to take some of our alumni down to the Greensboro Airport because a couple of them were asking about wanting to be a pilot. And so we reached out to some people that, a guy that knew a guy, and we could go see some planes. And it was just like, you saw the light turn on in their eyes, right? When they had a vision for what their life could look like. And through the hope and power of Christ, that's what they receive at Hope Academy. They receive a vision for, again, I'm saying the same words over and over, but who the Lord has made them to be and the things that he has set before them, the plans he has for them to prosper and not fail. And that's a game changer. That's a life changer. That changes them in ways that beyond what we could have even dreamed for them. In addition to the school, we have a couple of other programs. So again, I talked about the tutoring program. We started as a tutoring program. We still do an after-school tutoring program so that we can make up, you know, we can gain ground with students. And as we transition, we're in the midst of kind of transitioning that in some ways. We're partnering with another group to supplement that. In the past, that program has been 3 days a week for a couple hours after school. It's been very much based on college students who are volunteers. So this coming year, we have a partnership with a group that they're going to be able to do after school every day with more students and with more staff on board. So we're excited about that. We have a dance program that has taken place since it was started shortly after the tutoring program began. And again, like it brings opportunity to students that often opportunities are hard to come by, right? And so meeting them where they are and providing for them in ways that they might not otherwise have the chance for. A little bit about Hope students. So 90% of them qualify for free or reduced lunch. Serving ages 4 through 18, if you take into account the dance program and the tutoring program, roughly 61% African American, 15% Latino, 9% Caucasian, 15% multiracial. 50% of the 2020 graduates were first-generation Americans, right? So we have some families that come from Latin America. We have some families that come from Africa. We have a number of students that are kind of all across the board. The median income in the neighborhood is roughly about $21,000, right? So This is a poor neighborhood in a poor section of Greensboro. If you go a mile east or west, you land in some of the biggest housing projects in the city. And so those are places that we target and are pulling students from, right? A number of single family homes. So again, going back to, you know, students that are facing deserts in a lot of ways, right? A lack of opportunity. And Hope seeks to be an oasis that glorifies the Lord in the midst of in the midst of the desert that can be the inner city sometimes. So we are, again, like, we are faith-based, so therefore we are private, right? So we're not a charter school. Charters can't be private, or can't be faith-based. So our funding is, nearly all of it comes from donors, comes from businesses, churches, private donors, who support the education of a student. Roughly, costs about $11,000 a year to educate a Hope Academy student. 86% of that comes from donors. There is some state money through something called the Opportunity Scholarship that a number of students can qualify for. That's about $4,200 per student. So a number of students get that. That covers about 13% of our budget. And then about 1% of it comes from tuition. So we do charge tuition to families. Many of our families are, again, like very, very low income. And so, but we thought it was important to have them have some skin in the game, as they say, right? And to be able to see that they are making an investment themselves in this education as well. So that's what our funding model looks like. When they started the school, they had the opportunity to start it as a charter school, right? A charter school is a public school that is independently run. But being private lets us do two things well, right? It lets us love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It lets us talk to students openly, very openly, about who God is, who Jesus is, what sin is, and to use the Bible to talk to them, to pray with them. It also allows us, like I said before, to kind of love our neighbor as ourselves, to be a small school that has time and space to see each student and meet them where they are and pull them out of the things that they are mired in. So there's some more students. So yeah. I think that's all I have. Sorry, I was trying to think of what might be next. But as you guys think about Hope Academy, you're welcome to keep us in your prayers. Like I said, we're starting school in 2 weeks, which is it's been a wearying time to try to make such decisions, And we have parents that are kind of all over the map, like most people are, about what to do in this new world we find ourselves in. But we feel like the most loving thing we can do for our students right now is to educate them, is to give them a hope, right? The same things that we've been doing from the beginning, to give them a place where they can be known and they can know the Lord. And yeah. Yeah.
About two or three stories.
Mm-hmm.
That, yep. You've seen kind of transform and help the folks here kind of see that.
Sure. Yeah. So one of them would be top right. That's Jules. He is going to be a sophomore next year at Grimsley High School. So he started at Hope Academy as a fifth grader. And had been in the U.S., I think, less than 2 years from Rwanda. They went through several countries. They left Uganda because of civil war. And made their way to Greensboro. And Jules is in my fifth grade class. He couldn't read, right? He could barely carry on conversations. In a lot of ways, you know, as teachers, you have these struggles of, are they going to get it, right? Is my effort, you know, we all have doubts, right? Is my effort in this direction going to, is it working? Is this taking place? And I think we all kind of felt like that with Jules, right? He wasn't really interested. He wasn't necessarily overly distracted or anything. He just wasn't interested, right? And so by the time Jules made it to eighth grade 2 years ago, he was a star athlete on all the teams. He would show up at, they tried to get him to run, and he would just show up at these 5Ks and 10Ks and never trained at all for any of them and would just win the whole thing. It was ridiculous. And so not only that, but he would stand, the things I was talking about, he would stand up and he would speak and he would talk about where the Lord had brought him from, right? He was baptized, I think it was last spring. It may have been two springs ago. And he articulated so clearly, so perfectly, how the Lord had brought him from Africa to here and where he was going next, right? That he knew he was going to Grimsley. Now he's in love with sports, right? So typical American kid, wants to watch sports, play sports all the time. He's running track at Grimsley and just loves it, right? And comes back and again, looks you in the eye and talks to you about what he's doing, where he's been, what he's looking forward to. And it's just been such a turnaround from the kid who would just sort of slump in the corner and not say anything and just try to fly below the radar and just get by. So when we get students in fifth grade, sadly, I think oftentimes in tough schools, what you learn is how to hide, right? What you learn is how to stay off the radar, because it's not cool to do well, but you also don't want to kind of attract the attention of the ire of the teacher. And so a lot of times I feel like what we're doing is just rehabilitating students, right? To see that education is not going to hurt them, right? It's actually something they're in charge of, choices that they can make. And so it does take a while. It takes a couple of years before we really start to see students kind of believe that and buy in to what's going on. So another student is the fuzzy one in the background. That's Ricky. So Ricky's had a lot of challenges, right? So he would number of days just sort of break down and fight and get angry, yell, scream, stomp. I don't want to be here. You're making me be here against my will, kind of thing. Last year, Ricky was in seventh grade. And, you know, we still see that. It's still there, right? It's not immediately gone, right? But when you start to see the frequency of that reduce and you start to see them really trust you, it's just powerful. And they make these decisions to be in charge of their own education. They recognize their own agency in their lives. And so... it's been really, really amazing just to see the way the Lord's been at work in these students' lives. Was there one you were thinking of in particular that I missed? I know we talked about some. Wesley, yeah, very similar kind of similar situation where you know, Wesley was in my fifth grade class, and really extremely smart kid, one of the brightest kids, but very mistrustful, like very similar dynamic, would just sort of get mad and yell and just want to leave and, you know, want to call his mom and go home and I don't want to be here. And then at late in his seventh grade year, Wesley was also a star athlete, and he just kind of quit on his team in the middle of a game. Right, he was just done. He just left, and a few months ago at eighth grade graduation, Wesley gave the eighth grade speech, and just talked so clearly about his failures. Right, like as a 13, 14 year old kid, like stood in front of a crowd of people. And talked about what he'd learned from how he had let his teammates down, and all the things that he had learned along the way, the ways that he wanted to quit every time, but because people didn't quit on him, he wasn't going to quit, right? And just to see him stand up and own that and talk about it and talk about where the Lord has him headed, you know, is just, it's crazy to think of, having known him as a 10-year-old, you know, who came in and just, you know, didn't want to do anything, didn't have to work very hard, he's a very smart kid, so, you know, a lot of times in school you can just kind of, if you're smart enough, you can just figure out how to, you know, again, sort of breeze by and let it go. So, he stood up and spoke and just talked about what it's meant for him to learn who he is and who the Lord is and what it looks like to follow the Lord in the midst of when things get hard and not quit. So it was awesome. Yeah. Good reminder. Yep.
From my perspective.
Yep.
You've been around now long enough that you've got some graduates
mm-hmm.
that I think have made it all the way through high school. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen?
Yeah. Yeah, so some of them, teenagers are hard to get a hold of sometimes for some reason. They might have a few things going on, I don't know, but they're just hard to keep tabs on sometimes. But, you know, one of the things we've seen is nearly all of them have finished high school, right? So, which, awesome, praise the Lord. You know, we've seen them, some get into those high schools I was talking about, some not and just end up at kind of the high school down the street, but pretty much there's been a couple that we haven't been able to find, but as far as we know, everyone has finished high school. A number of them have gone on to college, so this past year, man, the years run together. That sounds like an old thing to say, doesn't it? But this past year, we had a student who got a full, mostly full scholarship to Winston-Salem State, and a number of other students. The class that will now be seniors is the was kind of the class that started with us and then went all the way through. But we had another young woman, Jameson, who came to eighth grade promotion, and she. When she was at Hope, a very similar, like I was talking about with Jules, just sort of a, just trying to like stay below the radar and not get caught, right? And had some very serious academic struggles and a lot of questions from teachers about can we serve this student? Are we doing right by working with her? And went to high school, and we didn't really see that by eighth grade with her. Like, you know, the story I told about Jules, that was not Jameson's story. She left us, was still very much, like, it was still kind of a question mark. We're like, I don't know. You know, some seeds you plant, you see the fruit, some you don't. So came back, like I said, a few months ago to eighth grade promotion, was just talking about, you know, gotten into two different colleges, was trying to make that decision, got scholarships to both, was figuring out where to go. And again, like standing there talking to, initiating conversations with strangers about this. So just remarkable to see her, you know, be able to come back. And like, and again, like it sounds like a small thing, but to like look adults in the eye and smile and talk about your goals is huge. And so for her to show up and do that at eighth grade promotion was just, we were shocked, you know, just, wow, like, look, like, you know, we didn't know, like, we spent a lot of time planting and watering and trusting that the Lord was going to give the growth, and he did, and he will continue to be faithful. Feel free, other questions, yeah. Yeah.
Is that really K-8?
No, well, it is K-4. So we, the standard school day at Hope is a little longer, and then a lot of the students play sports. So we had a tutoring program kind of for the middle schoolers, and then when we started a sports program, it was like everybody went to play sports. So, which we felt like the academic attention they were gaining in the classroom was offset by that. And so in a lot of ways, we've used the K-4 tutoring program to get what we hope are future Hope Academy students ready to come to Hope. And again, trying to look at what that looks like in the future as we add K-4. Because if, you know, tutoring is kind of there to supplement the academic. And so if we're doing a good job during the academic day, the next question is, what are the other opportunities we can give these students, athletics, enrichment, and those kind of things. So, which we have some opportunities with this group that we're partnering with. So again, like we're excited about what that might look like going forward. Because one of the things that we do have some clubs where kids can explore the arts and those sorts of, and music and the dance ministry, but it's been a little few and far between. So hoping to use that as more of an extension into arts education. Yep, good question.
What sports teams do you
have? Yeah, cross country is typically kind of August, September, and then it goes into soccer, and then flag football. And then we come back in January, we start off with volleyball and then finish with basketball. Yep, so, and it's been a great opportunity. You know, we are a mile from UNCG's campus. It's just, it's like right across the street. And North Carolina A&T is maybe 2 miles away. And these kids have grown up in Greensboro and never seen these schools, never knew that these places existed, never had any idea like that people went to these places. And so sports has been an interesting avenue for these kids for us to kind of take them to games and see like, oh, okay, like this is something people do, you know, like they just had no idea. Or we have the opportunity to take them to the Triangle to see State and Carolina and Duke, and you know, those are things that they've heard of. They know the colors, they know, you know, and they've seen them on TV, but to step foot on the campus, to see it in person, to understand, oh, this is a college. Oh, okay. You know, so again, like sports has been an interesting avenue for that we didn't necessarily anticipate, but it's been really, really interesting to see that at work. Yep.
Jeff, I'm curious what the recruitment process looks like. And do you have a waiting list, or is it an effort to recruit students? How does that work?
Yes and no. So it is an effort. That tutoring program I mentioned is kind of our main recruitment mechanism. Because students that are in that come from surrounding elementary schools. We do have a waiting list for middle school. So one of the challenges we faced when we started 5th through 8th grade, it was really easy to recruit students at 6th grade because it's a natural time when people are changing schools typically. It's really difficult to recruit students for 5th grade mostly because they've been kind of suffering through K-4, waiting to be the top dog in fifth grade, and now they're there. They don't want to go somewhere else. And their parents are like, we'll just change, next year. So we didn't know going into this year what recruitment would look like for third and fourth grade. So we were like, is it going to be easier to recruit third and fourth grade than it was fifth? In some ways, it was a little easier at third grade, but, COVID has frozen everyone in place for now. But I think in the next 2 weeks it's already started over the last week, we've gotten a ton of calls already about, I hear you guys are going to start school. I hear you're going to have in-class, on-site instruction. And so there's been a lot of interest there. So part of that as we move towards kindergarten is, we really feel like, it's going to be a much, much simpler to recruit them when they're starting school into that kindergarten spot. It's been harder to get them to change schools. The most success we've had is when other parents do it, right? When a parent goes to another parent and says, "Hey, this is great. You need to think about doing this with your kid." Trouble is sometimes they're also a little hesitant to do that because they're not necessarily giving away the secrets, right? So it's been easy to recruit at middle school, but a little more challenging to recruit in elementary school. So good question. Yeah, teacher recruitment. Yes and no. It hasn't been hard to staff. And so we've definitely had a lot of interest. I think once, I don't know what the magic number is, but once teachers get past a certain point in the state retirement system, it's a little harder to maybe turn that ship. So we do have a number of young teachers, and I think it's I've kind of leaned on the philosophy of it's easier to grow talent than to find talent. So I've been happy to have some young teachers that we can kind of build up and grow up as they come. We are gaining two veteran teachers this coming year for third and fourth grade, so that's really exciting because the last few years we had a very young teacher base. And when we started, we had a number of volunteer / kind of part-time teachers that were great teachers, but it was kind of just jigsawed together in some ways, And so it's been a blessing to have a number of more. I was the only full-time staff the first couple of years, or only full-time teacher, not the only full-time staff. But so it's been great to have more full-time teachers that are spending more time honing their craft as teachers. But it's been I feel like the Lord's provided exactly what we needed, when we needed it. And so this time last year, I knew I had a number of young teachers and was facing a year where I needed to invest a lot of time in them. Told the Lord, we really need some more veteran teachers. As we're going to add grades, we can't continue to do it this way. I wasn't quite that forceful with the Lord. Let me clarify that. It was more like, what am I supposed to do here? Please. And so the Lord provided, right? We knew that, we know that the research supports that students of color do really well with staff of color. And so, nationally, about 2% of the educators across the country are African-American males. At Hope Academy, 50%, right? So we have 3 African-American males who are teaching and that are in front of these students speaking to them about who Jesus is. Mr. Studwell runs a company on the side, right? He's an entrepreneur. And so they see that, they understand that. They see people who look like them setting goals and achieving those goals. And so our Latino population continues to grow. And we're like, nobody on staff speaks Spanish. Again, Lord, help us. And so we're excited to welcome a veteran teacher from Honduras on staff this coming year. And so She loves the Lord. She loves kids, you know, so it's been great to see the Lord show up in these ways. And I think Steve mentioned there was some head of school transitions that took place while I was a teacher, and it was just hard, right? It's hard to start anything and get it off the ground and get it going. And so, but you look back and you just see the faithfulness of the Lord, right? You see how His hand has guided you when it looked dark, when it looked uncertain, you know. And again, I think things feel dark right now, right? They feel uncertain, I think, especially for kids. One of the students that I took to the airport that I mentioned, he hadn't been out of his house in 3 months since COVID happened. Like, hadn't been out of his house. And, you know, I was really struggling with what to do, whether to have school or not. And when I talked to him, I was like, yeah, like, we need to do something. You know, loving you right now looks like, how do we give you hope in the midst of all this uncertainty? And you know, again, we're stepping out in faith and trusting that the Lord is gonna protect us, gonna meet us there, gonna give us wisdom as we sift through that. And
can I tell a little
yeah
bit?
Please.
So this thing was
right at a million.
To be able to do that. And so it sounds like a really stupid thing to do. And so one of the ladies that was involved in the family, and she just rolled off the board, and she told a story to us, because our mission is in the hope and power of Christ. Mm-hmm. We're going to educate, encourage, equip. And so she was talking about in the earliest days, as she and some others were sharing the vision with people that they knew, and constantly would say, oh, that's not going to work. Oh, you can't do that. You can't get that much money. Nobody's going to do that. And I love her answer. She just kind of would look at and say, what God do you know? And it's true. And so He has been so faithful in this work. And you know, it's a neat thing. A couple of little stories for me, because I don't know the kids anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would go and we would sit with the kids and try to get to know them a little bit at Christmas time or just before Christmas. So this last year, I was sitting at a table. Wesley was at the table. And, you know, this guy is, like, engaging you. I mean, he's an eighth grader. Go to most of our middle schools and sit at a table with a group of eighth graders and see what happens. You know, not many of them are going to engage you in conversation. But he was. And so there was this little guy. Maybe sixth grade, could have been seventh grade, sitting at the end of the table beside me. And when it quieted down for a minute, he looked at me and he said, so, when you were my age, what were your goals? I just kind of shook my head, and I looked at him and I said, frankly, I didn't have any. I said, my goals were to stay out of trouble, not to get caught for the things that I was doing. And so I just thought, wow.
Yeah.
And so if people wanted to come and see for themselves, do they just show up? Do they need to contact?
Yeah, feel free. Yeah, contact me. You know, we're cautiously bringing visitors in. We typically would have.
They screened me for 3 months.
We typically would have a couple lunches each semester, like Steve mentioning, and bring groups of people in. But, you know, we are doing sort of individual tours and come see the facility and come see the students. And, I mean, the facility is another story of the Lord's provision, right? Just, they started school. They didn't know where they were going to have it. They didn't have a building. They didn't have anything. And started leasing from Florida Street Baptist. And they were not, they sort of begrudgingly were leasing it. And they're, but the Lord grew their hearts and they grew to love the students. They grew to love the mission. And 2016, they as they were as their congregation was dwindling, they voted to dissolve and donate the whole of the property to Hope Academy, which is just a huge building. They had built an education wing in the 70s that they intended to be a school, and it never was a school until 2012 when Hope Academy moved in. So, the Lord built a school 40 years before a school was there. You know, I think those are the kind of things that makes me, gives you chills and just makes you think, like, of course the Lord's going to show up in the midst of all this, right? In the midst of all this uncertainty, in the midst of what's next. None of that surprises the Lord, right? And we need to put ourselves in a position to tell students that, to tell these kids that need to hear it. So, yeah.
Any final questions? Okay, well, we will be making a gift on behalf of the chapel to Hope Academy. So pray for them.
Yeah.
To me, as we look around and we see the turmoil all around us, and we wonder, He's at work.
Mm-hmm.
He's at work in places, different pockets, doing some pretty amazing things. And Hope Academy is one of them. If you want to go, you can see me. I can arrange for you to get there and make sure you know where it is and that type of thing. So if there are no other questions, thank you, John.
Thank you, guys. Thank you again.